here's the story. It was one of those days, the kind we're all prone to at some point throughout our life, the kind of day where you wish you had a punching bag available for your very own personal anger dispelment. With my luck, though, I'd probably do it wrong and end up breaking my hand. Well, shit, I guess that's out the window then. But you get my point. It just wasn't a good day. Everything that could possibly go wrong, you guessed it, went positively, unbelievably wrong. Alexander would tremble at the sight of my horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day. Tremble away, child. Anyways, my day didn't just start off on the wrong side of the bed, as those annoyingly upbeat people like to phrase it. What is that about? Is there a side of the bed that determines if you'll have an awful day? Because if so, I must permanently sleep there. I think my whole bed is the wrong side. Alright, back to the story. So, my day didn't just start off bad. I never get those blissful seconds of half-sleep utopia that people get before they open their eyes. No. My slumberous brain plagued me with one of those dreams that determines the outcome of the rest of your day. The type of dream that leaves you with no memory of the reasoning when you wake up, except for the unexplainable feeling that someone has unforgivably pissed you off. In this case, it was my older sister. From the minute I got out of the bed, I was undeniably mad at her. The type of rage that makes you want to, well, we already determined I couldn't successfully use a punching bag, so that's not viable. So I suppose it was the type of rage that made me want to take a pair of scissors to all of her favorite clothes and make some impromptu winter snowflakes. Have I successfully conveyed my emotions yet? Yes? Good. Maybe you're even a little upset on my behalf now. If you are, well done you! Gold star, A+. If you're not, well, stick around. I'm just getting started. So I awoke in this menacing mood to my hopelessly positive, here comes the sun alarm clock by none other than the Beatles. Might be a fine song if it wasn't the one you heard every morning in a desperate attempt to rouse you from your cozy bed. As if the lyrics, here comes the sun, and I say it's all right, make me feel somewhat excited to go to school. Sorry, George. I say it's not all right. But I stumbled out of bed and grabbed the nearest clothes in my wardrobe. Yep, my sister's hand-me-downs. I cannot stand how many new clothes she gets to strut around in while I, the sibling with a far better fashion sense, am stuck in her bland grayscale. Am I exaggerating? Probably. Does it piss me off anyway? Absolutely. So anyways, I was all ready to head out the door, makeup on, clothes on, reading skimmed, etc., and I was putting toothpaste on my cursed toothbrush when I flicked toothpaste right smack into my eye. Oh. If this has happened to you before, my condolences, and you feel my pain. If not, you're really lucky, because it stings like hell. So, of course, in the process of splashing water into my eye, I completely soaked my shirt and had to do another run to the closet. And lucky me, I ran out of t-shirts with reasonable sleeve lengths, not requiring shaving and so forth. So today I would walk outside in a tank top and a cardigan, praying that weather.com incorrectly predicted it to be the hottest and most humid day of the week. Of course, in the process of the whole toothpaste, clothes, shebangle, I was late for school. Now, my school has one of those confusing rotating schedules, yet somehow every time I'm late, I am always late to math class. Every single time. So I ran in 10 minutes late and received a glare from my intimidating, sarcastic teacher. I hurriedly gasped out I'm so sorry, I was late, there was a fiasco with my toothbrush, but promptly closed my mouth when everyone turned to stare at me. It surely didn't help that I was out of breath from my record-setting sprint from the parking lot to my classroom. I awkwardly maneuvered my chair and took out my notebook. However, to my great despair, I had forgotten my pencil pouch in my room at home. So I turned to my classmate and tried to discreetly borrow a pencil, but they ignored me, and I had to use a pen that I found in the bottom of my bag, which meant that I would definitely get points off the assignment for using pen in math class. But from there, I honestly couldn't tell you what happened. I missed the important bits and was only able to slightly lift my head off the table to catch more intimidating stares, although they weren't registered by my tired brain. Things still didn't look up by the next period. We were watching a documentary on the incredibly boring properties of metals, and all I could focus on was my growling stomach. I was literally so upset at my sister this morning that I refused the toast that she had made and offered to me. Great. So now I was still mad and also hungry, the perfect recipe for hangry, and there were still 2 periods left until lunch. I reached down for my lunchbox to eat the granola bar I packed in. Nothing hit my fingers. Upon searching, I realized that I had left my lunchbox at home as well. Shit. I hope that my lunchbox and pencil pouch weren't lonely at home without me or something like that. At least next period was break, so I'd be able to take a nap and forget about my growling stomach. Once the bell rang, I raced out of science and fell asleep in another classroom. Worksheet to documentary, a nap was absolutely necessary. Yet, I lack the human ability to properly nap, so when my eyes close, I'm out. I could never successfully take a power nap. Also, I'm not exactly a peaceful waker or a morning person of any kind, as I'm sure is clear by now. I vaguely remember coming to as a teacher I've never met before shook my shoulder. To the teacher's unfortunate surprise, my arm swirled around and whacked her in the face. Realizing what I'd done, I turned in my seat to profusely apologize, but I rotated too quick for my groggy state and fell gracefully out of the chair. Flushing, I ran out of the room on a flurry of apologies. I arrived to the next period, and my body, ignorant of the 45 minutes of sleep I had just received, was barely able to stay awake during the lecture. Unaware of the teacher and those around me, I sat with one leg crossed over the other and unconsciously bounced my leg up and down. At some point, a good 20 minutes into the class, I realized my leg was brushing up against something that was quite, hairy. I slowly turned my head and looked over, and oh no! I had been brushing my leg up and down my neighbor's leg. He gave me a very confused look, and I immediately went bright red, sweat no doubt collecting under my arms, because this peer of mine, my seat neighbor, just happened to be only the crush I had desperately been trying to get over so that I could think straight. I didn't know what to say, and I should have just kept my mouth closed, because what came out was some sort of strangled sound I'd expect to come out of a cornered animal in a rainforest, a sound too loud and an octave sharper than humanly possible. I interrupted the lecture with a cry and received another threatening stare. Current score for the intimidating stare count, teachers 2, me 0. I grabbed my backpack and ran out of the room to the bathroom down the hall, where I promptly locked myself into the stall for the rest of the period. I wasn't sure how I would describe the inevitable email my parents would receive from that teacher today, but for that moment, I was blissfully alone in the bathroom, and I didn't have to emerge for the rest of the period. The next period arrived all too soon. In my next class, I had a presentation. When I hooked up my computer to the projector to display my PowerPoint, I accidentally had the wrong page pulled up. Instead of the informative slideshow I had stayed up till 4 a.m. designing, what showed up instead was a BuzzFeed article. And not just any BuzzFeed article, no. It was the one and only BuzzFeed 17 period horror stories that will make you feel better about yourself. Oh yeah. Forget to mention that the list of the things that have upset me today. I have my period this week, yay me, and needed some comedy to distract me from the vivisection occurring on the lower half of my body. Turn to BuzzFeed. They were successful for my distraction, I suppose, but they were not successful in sparing me from feeling better about myself, because I had forgotten to close the page before I connected my computer, so I received the fun joy of a complete embarrassment in front of the whole class that looked up and saw my recent web history, which meant that my brain, already nervous to have to stand in front of the class, now had to get me through the next 5 minutes of my presentation while fighting the blaring override-the-system self-preservation signal that was trying to convince my legs to run me out of the school and never return. But alas, this project was worth a final grade, so my whole class, Mark, depended on these 5 minutes of my life 5 mortifying minutes. I somehow wheezed out my dissertation before racing back to my seat and hunching down as far as possible into the seat. The only good part of my utter embarrassment, I was finally awake. The burning heat that painted my face in a lovely fuchsia also prevented me from feeling tired, which is ironic, don't you think? Now I was finally awake, I was able to process what had just happened. That's a commercial for you. Can't wake up? Do you always feel tired, even when you received a good night's rest? Feeling distracted and can't seem to connect with your family and friends? Try complete and utter embarrassment, guaranteed to give you the shock you need to move from 1 to 100% level energy in less than 10 minutes. Ugh, whatever. But hey, if I fail getting into college because I get an F from this project and it ruins my transcript, maybe I can be hired as an advertising agency, you never know. Lunch finally arrived, but with it came the stress of having to find food off campus. Because I had forgotten my lunch at home and hadn't ever eaten breakfast, there were more growls emanating from my midsection at sounds higher than should be acceptable for an organ to make. I mean, my stomach seemed ready to challenge my uterus in a duel of who can make her double over in pain first. So I walked over to my car and decided to drive over to the local sandwich deli. But after it took me 10 minutes to drive half a mile, I gave in to the traffic and begrudgingly turned around. I found a half-eaten bag of pretzels from who knows when or where, and tried to race the clock to get to school by the time lunch period was over. Spoiler alert, the time won. And I returned to school late for the second time that day. I slipped into the room only a couple minutes late, though. But the class was already engaged in the scheduled quiz. But at least I was ready for this quiz. Finally! There was something that I could actually do that day. Not so fast. When I got to my seat and began to read the quiz, I realized I did not recognize half the questions. I glanced up at the top of the quiz, where chapters 14 through 18 was written in Times New Roman font. A font so concise it seemed to mock me. What the hell? I could have sworn that we were supposed to read until chapter 16, not 18. I wrote a little note to my teacher on the top of my quiz to explain what had occurred, but I knew he wouldn't care, so I scrambled to answer the questions I did recognize, and then sheepishly turned in the quiz at the front of the room. For the rest of the class, I tried to avoid the teacher's, you guessed it, stare, and then slipped out of the door at the end of class. Finally, the last class of the day had arrived, and what awaited me at this fine destination? Nothing other than a teacher ready to dress code me. The weather was in fact correct, and it was so hot that I had left my cardigan in the car on my unsuccessful lunch trip, so my teacher dress coded me for the tank top. And on top of that, also dress coded me for my ripped jeans, which is apparently a rule at my school, but question is, how did I escape the dress code violation for the whole day until the last hour of the day when all everyone wants is just to go home? Why give me a false sense of hope? Why? So my teacher literally placed index cards over the holes in my jeans and then used packing tape to secure the cards around my exposed skin. Which meant that I had to walk around school with taped jeans and a shirt that showed I hadn't shaved in some time. Great. And to make things worse, I actually really enjoyed the lesson. Why would that be worse, you ask? Well, settle in. It was worse because I was so happy to actually enjoy the lesson that I raised my hand to answer a question, which meant that I had just exposed my unshaven underarms to the rest of the class. No longer hidden under the long sleeves of my cardigan, it was all out there. Don't get me wrong, if you don't want to shave, you do you. But I am one of those unfortunate souls who falls prey to the societal pressures for women. So the terrible thought that my peers saw my slightly unkempt underarms sent me into just another round of embarrassment. Not quite as bad as earlier, run-ins with now all too familiar emotion, but still enough to make me put my head down for the rest of the period, which I will mention went on all too long. Not helped by the fact that my teacher kept us 5 minutes over the bell to remind us that the project was due the next day, a project I had forgotten existed until then. So the minute we were finally let out, I sprinted once again to my car, where I immediately ripped off the stupid index cards and curled them into a little ball in the driver's seat. After a decent amount of soul-searching and time spent with curses to the universe, I began to drive home. I got home and trudged out to my room, where I helplessly fell onto my bed and vowed to sleep for at least 72 hours. However, my family did not respect this simple wish from me, and I was once again woken up from an intense annoyment by my sister. Not a dream this time, but her physical form standing in my doorway and relaying a request from my mother. Apparently, I was supposed to go to the grocery store. On first thought, come on! Why couldn't you have sent one of my other siblings? On second thought, though, it meant I didn't have to do my homework yet, so yay for procrastination! It was quite a ride to the store. I queued up my breakup playlist because why not? There's really some good songs on there, and besides, my feelings were pretty much shredded from this day, so what's the difference? Just substitute your reputation in for your broken relationship and you're good. Over the course of the drive, I got through the heartbreak section where I mourned my self-esteem, but I eventually arrived at the stage of my emotions where I was ready to love myself for who I am. The toothpaste in the eye, BuzzFeed period stories, index cards on the leg, me. So by the time I hardcore rocked out to Jessie J's masterpiece and Great Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive, I was ready to take on the world. Or at least the grocery store. I confidently walked through the sliding doors and didn't even pause to grab a cart. Chuckling, I decided I would never need a cart. These unshaven arms were capable of holding their own groceries, thank you very much. Pause it here. Reality check. I definitely didn't have room in my arms to hold all the groceries. My last item on the list was a jar of tomato sauce, which unfortunately was too high on the shelf for me to reach. Did this stop me from trying to jump up and grab it? You should probably know the answer to that one. Of course it didn't. So, I was mid-jump when I heard a voice I have thought about all too much call out my name from up the aisle. My hand missed the jar and instead knocked it from the shelf, and in a desperate attempt to grab it on its voyage downwards, I decided to let go of all of the other groceries that I had delicately balanced in my arms. Cut to a second later, where I too had fallen on the ground, split blags of flour and smashed jug of apple juice all around me. But in my hands was the miraculously saved jar of tomato sauce, which I cradled to my body as I sat up. And that is where you found me, sitting in your supermarket aisle, covered in apple juice and flour and clutching a jar of tomato sauce. And that's the end of the story. Do you believe me now? Can I please leave? I am sorry I trashed your store. I didn't mean to. Please trust me when I say that if I had wanted to embarrass myself, I wouldn't have gone to your store and purposely dropped all of the groceries all over the floor. Believe me, I could have embarrassed myself much easier than that. I have, as you just heard, that boy who was calling out to me when you ran to the aisle, yeah, that was the guy I'm basically in love with. If you think that's bad, you should have seen what I said happened at school today. Words do not do that story justice. You had to be there. Anyways, I understand you're the manager of the supermarket and that you feel it necessary to question my motives as to why I was sitting in the midst of a dozen smashed groceries, but I beg you to understand that if you let me out of your impromptu questioning session, I'll go clean up the aisle and leave your store.
It's fine. It's fine. Just go.
Really? Oh my gosh, thanks. And I promise you, this was by far the best thing that happened today, if you can believe it. I'm ready, George. I'm ready for that son.